So my name is José Bové. Listen to health writers if you are concerned about the health of the body politic.
Good evening and welcome to Health Writers on the Air. I'm your host this evening, Steve Blank, and I'm very happy to welcome back health writer Gary Karch to the studio. Gary is going to be discussing the pollution caused by the Kit plant on the east side with longtime activist Lance Green. Hi, Gary. Welcome back.
Thank you. It's great to be back. Steve, for the first time I heard about the pollution from Madison Kit Corporation on Madison's east side spreading into the surrounding residential neighborhood, I knew it was a story that just had to be covered by health writers, given that the substance in question, the industrial solvent perchloroethylene, is a health risk and a known carcinogen. Also, in its own intro, health writer speaks of the health of the body politic. So where is there a better example of a healthy body politic than the incredible coalition of community members and elected officials who have come together to expose this situation to the public? Now, in the spirit of full disclosure, I must point out that I am a member of the Schenck Atwood Starkweather Yahara Neighborhood Association, in whose area the KIPP Corporation resides, and I am also a member of their KIPP committee. In that role, I've had the pleasure of getting to know some of the most talented and committed people one could ever imagine gathered together in one group. One of those persons is our guest tonight, Lance Green. Lance is unquestionably a great resource and is very knowledgeable, and I just knew he would be the perfect person to describe this difficult, complex, and oftentimes confusing situation in a manner that our listeners could understand. So without further delay, let's go to our interview with Lance recorded earlier. Lance Green, welcome to Health Writers.
Thank you very much, Gary.
Could you tell me how you got involved in this situation and a little bit of history on this?
Sure. Well, first off, I'm somebody who lives just a half a block from the KIPP Corporation. I've been there for 30 years on the east side of Madison in that home. So this is my neighborhood, and I'm a member of the Schenck Atwood Starkweather Yahara Neighborhood Association Council. And so I'm kind of a responsible person in my neighborhood, and we like to be on the east side. And I also recently retired from the Department of Natural Resources, where I was for 20 years, so had a little bit more knowledge of how contamination situations work, and so thought I could jump in on this neighborhood issue and help out.
Could you describe the situation right now with the pollution, what happened in the past, what's spurred the citizen outrage recently?
Sure. It's real kind of a complicated and technical issue, but I'll try and make it real clear. Really, what we're talking about is a chemical that Madison Kip was using as a degreaser to clean the grease and stuff off of the metal parts that they melt down. And this degreaser, called PCE, or polychlorinated ethylene, is also used for dry cleaning and has been used for dry cleaning and other industrial uses and even some home cleaning products. But it was determined a few years ago to be a carcinogenic, and so it's not really used anymore. Madison Kip actually stopped using it in 1989. So the pollution we're talking about is from releases and spills that happened even before that time and then have been soaking into the ground and spreading out ever since. Now, this pollution was recognized back in the early 90s, and in fact, 1994, the Department of Natural Resources issued a letter to KIPP saying, you guys have to find out where all that pollution is and clean it all up. That's 1994. 1995, soon after, the groundwater was found contaminated beneath KIPP, and then they started looking at and injecting some oxidizing agents, ozone, into below the surface, and were able to mitigate or clean up some of that pollution But it was widespread and quite a bit of it underneath there. And so pretty soon it was discovered that there were soils that were contaminated by the vapors coming from this contamination up through the ground and into the soils and around the houses next to Kip. And so in the mid-60s, Madison Kip did install some vapor probes and some homes, and the soils were tested, and they found that there was some problems there. But it wasn't until 2011 that what are called sub-slab mitigation systems were put in 5 homes next to the Kip property where they had found a lot of contamination. Now, these kind of systems are the same that they install in homes to eliminate radon pollution in the homes, and it just basically sucks the air out from underneath the slab and then vents it out into the air so that those vapors don't get into the home and kind of concentrate where people can breathe them. This is really one of the pathways that we're most concerned about as far as public health, and that's people breathing it in their homes, coming up through the slab and through into the basement, just like radon does. Now, more recently, there has been a lot more testing done in the soils, and there are also wells that have been testing the shallow and groundwater pollution from these spills. And there is PCE in the shallow water and in the groundwater up to one well measured it up to 170 feet deep. And that is a real problem for us, especially when we consider the movement of groundwater and possibly eventually drinking that.
So what remediation systems are being planned to be put
into place? Well, actually, last month, there was one soil vapor extraction system put along the northeast edge of the Kip property and behind about 12, 15 homes. And what that really does is it's just perforated like pipes laid down under the ground 10, 15 feet and above where the water table is, which is only about 20 feet down there, and a big suction system that sucks the air and creates kind of a vacuum in that soil in the area. And these then the PCE is supposedly then sucked out and put through a carbon filter so it's not released into the air, and then it keeps that soil vapor from moving toward those houses, because this is the area where they found some of the highest levels of contamination in the soil.
Historically, I understand that there's been quite a lack of response in the past, over the past 20 years, concerning this from Kip and the DNR, and that has caused the neighbors to be very upset. They've had some very contentious meetings recently. Can you tell us a bit about some of the newer meetings that have been held that have been more positive?
Well, sure. And yeah, as you say, this situation has been going on for a long time. As I said, the 1994 was the first letter saying, hey, Kip, clean it up. Most of the pollution is still down there spreading out, so that's a real problem. Even as far back as 2003, the State Department of Health and Family Services issued a letter to DNR saying, hey, we should be worried about vapors coming into the homes from this kind of a spill there. There's been a lot of awareness of the issue on the part of these public agencies, but really not a push until higher levels were found in 2011. These vapor systems were installed in 5 homes and also 7 homes besides Kip, right next to Kip, started up a lawsuit against this under federal laws. At that point, last year, the Neighborhood Association got quite involved. We formed an ad hoc committee to first respond to what was called the scope of work letter, a scope of work document that the DNR was working on with Kip to put out to see how much has to be done to really determine the nature and extent of this contamination and clean it up. And the Sassy neighborhood folks, the committee, we looked very closely at that scope of work and determined that it was completely inadequate to really get the job done and incomplete, and gave a lot of comments on there with a lot of help from some of our very savvy residents who knew about things like groundwater contamination and such. And so that was the first piece back last October, And from that point, we decided we better do everything we can to possibly help our neighborhood and make some action happen before this just gets set aside action was not taken. So one of the things we did that was really effective is we went and met with all of our government officials to inform them and get them active on the issues. And I'm talking about Representative Chris Taylor, who's been wonderful, Senator Mark Miller, Senator Fred Risser, Dane County Executive Joe Parisi, Mayor Paul Soglin, and our wonderful Alder, Marshall Rummel. And all of those people have been in communication and sent letters to the DNR, Department of Health, and others saying, hey, this stuff's got to be done right now, this time. Let's get it done. And so that really was, the force that truly pushed action on this, as well as the lawsuit. Both of those things are really made a lot of things happen. So since last fall, we've seen a whole host of activities going on, including a lot more testing being done. Madison Kipp Corporation was pretty much, told to get active and get all these houses tested that are adjacent to the facility and everything. And things were moving a little slow. So recently, a couple months ago, the DNR basically stepped up and said, hey, we're going to hire a contractor and take over that testing and that sub-slab testing to make sure which houses do have a problem, and then oversee the installation of these vapor removal systems on those houses that do have a problem. So there has been just a big ramp up in the last few months of the activity in the neighborhood.
What is the DNR doing to respond to the community concerns?
The DNR has held several public meetings recently. There was one February 29th, which turned out to be kind of a fiasco because there was like 100 and some people in the room.
Yes, I was there.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy. And you saw maybe some of the people saw it a little bit on TV on Channel 27. They had a nice little piece on it that showed the kind of the melee in the room. But after that, we had some discussions with the DNR about how maybe to get information better out to people and how to deal specifically with the group of neighbors who are immediately adjacent and even across the street from the Kipp plant, where we want to make sure this sub-slab testing gets done right away. And so then we helped Kipp arrange a couple of open house sessions in the last 2 weeks where we had a lot of neighbors coming who could ask one-on-one about their specific kinds of questions. And they were worried about, if you're going to drill a floor in my basement, you're going to drill a hole in the floor in my basement, and what's going to happen with that over time, and all the way to, how much is this stuff dangerous for me if I breathe it and my kids are breathing it, to who's going to pay to run that thing and all that and maintain it. But a lot of people really are concerned with kind of a bottom line for most is, hey, I can't sell my house when there's pollution around it, and what do I do about that? So we don't have, of course, a lot of clear answers about that, and that the DNR, of course, can't do anything about that situation except maybe help people get a letter that says, I am not responsible for this pollution on my property. Someone else is. It doesn't help you sell your house much, but at least it's gets you out of the responsibility for getting it cleaned up.
So what's the DNR doing right now?
We just had a meeting last week with the DNR and the SASE folks here talking about how to improve public outreach, maybe use their website better. They do have a lot of stuff on the DNR website about this. You can look up under dnr.wi.gov and search for Madison Kipp, and you'll find that. And we also have a lot of information on our SASE website, sasyna.org, and you can find a link there to a lot of good information about Kipp there. But we're hoping that these things will start to be very much out in the public. People will get a lot of good information. People will know what really their risk is, what their concerns could be, and how to deal with them.
So I understand that there had been a lot of distrust from the neighbors. They didn't know who to trust. And when the neighborhood association came in, they actually were able to find people that they could trust.
Well, that's one thing. It's hard to say, well, I'm going to listen to Kipp or the Kipp contractor and tell me the answers, because basically there's been an awful long time that this has been going on, and why wasn't it cleaned up before? So it's hard to build trust on that level. But I think people have found a lot of trust in their elected representatives, who have been so helpful, and a lot of trust in the neighborhood association. Of course, our motivations are just to make sure that our neighborhood is healthy and clean, and that we're all good neighbors. And you know, a lot of people have been concerned that our organization is like, well, they're wanting to just throw a good employer out of their neighborhood, and that's not true at all. Chemical plants, electrical plants, all kinds of industrial operations can work right next to neighbors and be good neighbors and clean up their mess and keep their pollution down. And really, that's what we just want. We're just looking for Kip to be a good neighbor in this situation.
Mm-hmm. I understand that the substance, this PCE, is a known carcinogen. Now, can you describe how dangerous the toxins are and what are the risks?
Polychlorinated ethylene is one of a series of chlorinated compounds that have been found to be toxic. And they're not immediately harmful in a way that, well, you know, if you breathe a small, tiny amount of it, you're going to get asthma or something like that. But if you have large levels, like some people used to work with this stuff very routinely and regularly in dry cleaners. This was the basic dry cleaner fluid and cleaned a lot. And so people were exposed to quite a bit of it. And that's really kind of why there's was a kind of a laissez-faire attitude about this particular chemical for quite a while, is because so many people were getting exposed to it and there didn't seem to be much problems until people got a large exposure or a very heavy exposure. Then, of course, they would have some problems with their lungs and with breathing and things like that, and headaches and nausea and vomiting and with real high levels. But we're talking about levels here that are in the parts per billion in houses. I mean, if we're going to measure over 6 parts per billion in a home, then that can be an action level to get a vapor mitigation system. So we're talking about tiny amounts that you can't even detect or smell yourself. But as with radon and other kinds of chemicals, small amounts can get into your system, into your blood, and go to a cell and create a cancer. And so this PCE was found in lots and lots of testing over a long period of time with animals and monkeys and rodents and even studies on the cohorts of people who have been exposed to it at various levels to show that indeed it can cause a few types of cancer.
What types of cancers?
Well, the epidemiological studies have indicated the increased risk for esophageal, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and cervical cancers at those really low levels. Those levels have then, you know, over the last 20 years been continuously ratcheting downward, like so many other chemicals that we've been studying and know more and more about, to the point where we say, well, we can't use this as a dry cleaner at all. We can't use it as a decreaser in industry at all. Nobody should ever be exposed to this stuff at all. So that's pretty much the story. As with many other chemicals, as we learn more, we find out that we shouldn't even have them around at all.
I understand that the DNR wants to remediate the homes to the 6 parts per billion versus a new EPA standard, which is going to be 60 parts per billion. Could you speak very quickly about that?
We see that, of course, as a really good thing. The standards we've looked at for indoor air, residential indoor air, we've seen anywhere from 6, 60, 120 parts per billion, even more in some places have been recommending. When you get to that low level, you know, you can really, I'm quoting a study, someone will say, that says, your risk is 1 in 10,000 if you have this level, and all those things are really estimates. So to make a standard as low as possible, and in this case, the 6 parts per billion is really laudable for an action level to do something about it and really eliminate the problem as much as possible from a home. And we've got some people here in the neighborhood, one home that they've got a couple little kids, and their soil tested the highest level. It was over 700 times that level in the soil outside their house. And so, how much is their kids breathing inside? Again, those tests are being done and have been done just in the last month for a lot of these houses, and some of them will be done, a lot more will be done very soon to see who has that kind of a level and who should get a vapor mitigation system installed.
So what is the ultimate goal of your organization, the Neighborhood Association?
Well, specifically, we really want this stuff cleaned up as much as possible and people not to have any risk from it at all. So we want all the homes in the area and the adjacent area tested, as many as possible, to see where how far this stuff is extended into homes. We want vapor mitigation systems installed in any of those that are needed. We want an increased testing of the soil and the shallow and the deep groundwater around the area to characterize this plume of contamination better. We have some maps that have been produced by the DNR and others that show where the contamination is, but there's really not enough data points around the area and at different depths to show how far it's gone. So we want that done a lot more, and that means drilling some wells, taking some soil samples and so forth, which we believe is going to move forward. Of course, we want the mitigation, which means the destruction or removal of the PCE to any extent possible. And so we know that there's some hot spots underneath the KIPP property. Well, if that means they've got to inject some ozone down there or some other things to help take that PCE and break it down into non-toxic pieces, well, then that's what should be done as much as possible, because when you just leave it in the ground, it just continues to migrate and move, and right now we're really concerned, especially with two blocks away is Well 8 over on the Olbrich Sledding Hill, and the city wants to ramp up Well 8's use. Right now it's only used 2 to 3 months a year because it has so much manganese and iron in it. Well, we've got on the board for maybe this year or next year to be putting in a manganese and iron filter so that they can ramp that up to year-round use. Well, if you start pumping a lot of water from under the ground two blocks away, we're kind of concerned that this PCE is going to be rapidly flowing toward Well 8 and into the water. And then, of course, we'd either have to stop using that well or install a system that actually removes that PCE. And I know we're doing this on another well in the city right now. But should we go to that route of cleaning up the chemicals, or should we clean up the chemicals before they get to our drinking water? We think the former is a lot better option.
Well, it sounds like there's so many different layers influencing this that it's just mind-boggling. Can KIPP realistically eradicate the pollution that they've created?
Well, that's a difficult question to answer, since, again, we don't know the complete nature and extent of the contamination. Even when you do go down as deep as you can and either remove whatever soil you can or mitigate it with ozone or other agents, there would probably still be some left, you know, further away. And so we've got to, you know, we really got to be concerned about that. And of course, we want KIPP to fund all of these activities, because they are the responsible party. We don't want this coming from taxpayers' money or DNR general funds. The person who's responsible needs to be responsible for this and remove as much as possible. And the city water utility is planning to put a sentinel well in between KIPP and Well 8 to test the water at different depths to see if we can catch that PCE and know that it's coming before it gets there.
Lance, is there any other information that you would like our listeners to know?
I think we've talked a great deal about it. It's a very, very technical issue. You can go to the SASE and the DNR website. We are very glad that we're having the political support we need right now. We're hoping that this will move forward.
Is the DNR conducting tests under the houses already?
Well, a lot of the tests have been done under some of the houses by a contractor hired by KIPP. But that process was moving a little slowly, so the DNR stepped in and hired their own contractor to do the rest of the work under the rest of the houses near the KIPP plant. Those tests are being conducted right at this very time, this week, last week, and so we're hoping to see the results of those tests and, of course, the next steps to go from there, whether a lot of those houses are going to get the mitigation systems to help prevent that PCE from getting into their homes.
Thanks, Lance, for coming here on Health Writers and being our guest.
Thank you, Gary, for interviewing me and helping us get the word out on this important situation on the east side of Madison.
Don't go near the water. children, see the fish all dead upon the shore. Don't go near the water, cause the water isn't water anymore. From the fountains and the mountains comes the water running cool and clear and blue. And it comes down from the hills, and it goes down to the towns and passes through. When it gets down to the cities, then the water turns into a dirty gray. Cause it's poisoned and polluted by the people as it goes along its way. Don't go near the water, children, see the fish all dead upon the shore. Don't go near the water, cause the water isn't water anymore.
I was sitting on the bank of the lake at home fishing with my little boy. I said, "Have you got a bite yet, son?" He said, "No, sir. Have you, Daddy?" I said, "I believe we've got a nibble." He said, "Daddy, if we catch a fish, can we cook him and eat him?" I said, "Maybe we better not, son. They say that it may not be safe to eat the fish in this water anymore."
Don't go near the water, children. See the fish all dead.
Well, thanks for that great report, Gary. And thank you to our guest, Lance Green. A couple of quick announcements. We've got just a little bit of time before we wrap up our show and get to radio literature. Listen up, teachers and youth-serving professionals and volunteers. Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin invites all youth-serving professionals and volunteers to learn about effective practices and innovative approaches to promote positive, healthy sexuality among our youth. There will be a Safe, Healthy, Strong 2012 conference promoting the sexual health among our youth from May 1st to May 4th at the Aloft Hotel, 1230 Old World 3rd Street in Milwaukee. For more information, go to the PlannedParenthood.org Wisconsin website. Also, last month we had on our show, we featured Occupy Madison's Committee on Homelessness and Foreclosure. And this Saturday, they are going to have a teach-in conference. Where do the 99% go from here? That's Saturday, April 14th, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. at UW-Madison Memorial Union. You can call 608-442-8399 for more information.
Oh, help me, please, doctor, I'm damaged. There's a pain where there once was a heart. It's sleeping, it's a fainting.